I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. And I don't know of a better place to be than in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and any other night. And I've been practicing that for over 30 years, and I haven't gotten tired of it. And I think that's something of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's given us the opportunity to minister for some 20 years in former Soviet Russia. At least one person knows where Ukraine is at. And another knows, okay. I remember last time we were here, 7 years ago on furlough, we stopped off the road, and there was some stand there. They were selling some goods, you know, and some elderly lady was selling some stuff, and I told her, I said, well, we're missionaries to Ukraine. You know where Ukraine's at? He said, yeah, probably somewhere down the road over there. So, how many know where Ukraine is? Okay. How many don't care? It's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord. And it's good to be in church. And it's good to see you here. And I thank the Lord, and I try to remember to thank the Lord for churches like this, people that have stood for the words of God in this book. I was saved in 1983. In 1992, I found myself on the foreign field in former Soviet Russia. And in 1993, I found my wife, Galia, Abigail. Well, she doesn't call me David. And my oldest daughter, she's 18, Naomi, and 16, Rachel, and Hannah is 11. One is available. So I look out and see if there's some young boys around here to love the Lord and come to church, you know, and ask the pastor who's sticking by the stuff. And you have to be concerned about those things these days. Amen? And the pickings are getting thinner and thinner. And you want a man, a young boy that loves the Lord, he loves the Bible, he loves the church, he loves to come to church, he loves the will of God. We've had the tremendous opportunity to, how late are we going till, brother? 11:25? You know, I can say all I need to say in 5 minutes. You know. 12. Okay, we got till 12 midnight tonight, so. Anyway, you know, I just want to just say a couple of things. You know, like for instance, we've got all kinds of things going on there. The Lord's really been good to us. Where Brother Dan is, it's a very, much more difficult. He's in Western Ukraine. And that's the farther you get closer to Poland and Germany, you get into some heavy Catholic territory. And that part of Ukraine used to be part of Poland at one time. As a matter of fact, the Ukraine has always been dominated by somebody. Either Mongolians came through, Greeks came through many years ago. Of course, Russia. And the Ukraine was part of the Soviet system and under Stalin. And if you come back tonight, you'll see some slides. And although I don't have it in the shorter version of our slides, I do have some slides of, you know, where my wife is from Ukraine, and a little country town there. In that region, or in that area, there were more people killed during the artificial famine by Stalin in 1932. And you talk about 16,000 people dying a day of an artificial famine by the boss man, Stalin. And you know, I don't believe that America will eventually get to 70 years of communism, but I think we're leaning toward that way, and we're getting there pretty quick. And, of course, you're the salt. You know, you're the best sort of salt there is. You got a Bible-believing pastor here, and you got the King James Bible, and you'll see our translation of the New Testament from the King James Bible. And our next step is that's the first time that's ever happened in former Soviet Russia. And it's the fifth major language in the world, Russia, the Russian tongue. And we are going to be, by the grace of God, we're working on our second edition. And then we hope by the third we're going to have all the cross references of this common man's Bible in that text. And this is the Bible I take with me and the Bible I study with. And when I found out about this Bible, I think it's got the best cross references. You know, I went through Schofield's many times, but I do appreciate the labor Pastor Hoffman put into this, and I know what it is to have to sit down and do this kind of tedious work, because messing with a translation that we've done, it's a very wearisome, very laborious work. And you know, I thank the Lord for the men God has given us, nationals, to work with. And we sit down together and we put together a King James Bible in the Russian tongue. And so if you come back tonight, we'll mention some things about the Spirit. Of course, there's many things I can say about the Spirit there. Your property's gone. All your things don't belong to you anymore. They belong to the system. Your conscience is shot. You don't have a King James Bible. And you have to go in there and work with the kind of people where you have a two-lane highway. And if you have a traffic jam, I'm sorry, kind of hard for me to get my English words out, folks. So if I switch over to Russian, I'm not cussing, don't worry about it. Yeah. You know, you get a traffic jam, and what happens, the sidewalks become the next lanes. You go up on the over the borders, you know, you're going about 9 or 10 inches on the board, over the border, curb, and you go on the sidewalks, and those sidewalks become the lanes. We haven't gotten there yet, have we? Here? You don't see that here. Well, you have absolute chaos and 70 years of communism, and people racked over the coals for many, many years. Anything goes. And by the grace of God, well, America won't see that. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 16. I want to talk about the work of missions. Pastor even mentioned if I wanted to preach the same message, I don't mind doing that. I don't mind preaching the same message over again, but I believe I'd like to touch some other ground here. Every one of us here is considered to be a missionary. If you're saved, could you say amen? Amen. It's good to be saved, isn't it? And I think it's good that we get kind of refreshed concerning some things about missions. I preach often to myself concerning missions, and this is the book of Acts talks about the works of the apostles and the things, some of the things that they did. And I would just like to start from chapter 16. And this is one of my favorite passages because it was one of the passages that spoke to my heart why we're serving over there in Ukraine. It says here, chapter 16, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him." I have a desire that more men would go out and serve the Lord as missionaries. It might be home missions. It might be it might be someplace here in the States. It might be someplace in Asia. It might be someplace in former Soviet Russia. It might be someplace in Africa. But you know, I believe the Lord's got his own way of doing things to where until that last sinner gets saved before the rapture, he's still interested in missions in the church age. And of course, he's going to be interested in missions during the tribulation. You got 144,000 Jews going out to preach the gospel during the Great Tribulation. Of course, thank the Lord, we won't be here. Amen. We'll be up in heaven enjoying the Lord's presence up there in the third heaven. I've always have been interested in trying to introduce others or get others interested in missions, and maybe a young man here, maybe a young woman would be interested in wanting to know more about a foreign field, if that be the case. Now, for instance, I got an email a little while ago by a girl. She's about 16, 17 years old. Her name is, I think it's Shane. She's out in the sticks, from out in the sticks out in Iowa, southern Iowa, And she ordered 5 New Testaments in Russian, the King James New Testament in Russian. And she told us she's called to go to Russia. And you never know what the Lord's going to do with some young man or some older fella or some young girl. And the Lord speaks to their hearts through the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, and that they would serve wherever God would have them to go. And so we see this here with this young Timothy. And it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, that would be modern-day Turkey, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they said to go into Bithynia, which is right under the Black Sea. That would be northern Turkey. And then it says here, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, you notice here is the author of missions, the Holy Spirit, where he's leading and guiding and directing. They talk about leadership today. You know, you hear that in these big mega churches or in big businesses, leaders and leadership. Well, if a guy's going to be anything of a leader and a biblical leader, he's going to have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? That makes a lot of sense. You can't see him. But he sure can say a lot of things to you, can he? The Holy Spirit took part in the creation of the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit took part in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit took part in the book you got on your lap. That's a lot of power. That's some leadership. Amen? And we've got people in former Soviet Russia right now that the Holy Spirit has produced King James Bible believers. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And how often do we ask and seek for leadership that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth and the Holy Bible? And it says here in verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision, you might want to circle that, appeared to Paul in the night of all times. There stood a man, now you want to remember that too, in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia. Now here we get a vision. He's Paul and the groups there in Asia. And he gets a vision. Of course, back then they didn't have the complete revelation of the words of God written, so they actually saw things. So that's the way one of the ways the Lord worked back then. And so he gets this vision of this man in need. And it says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and, what are the next two words, folks? Let's say it together. Help us. You know how many people are really in need today and need the help? They might not even know it, but there's millions of people out there that need help. Amen? Maybe they don't even know it. Maybe they don't even care right now. Maybe they're just passive and, you know, I mean, we talk to all kinds of people in former Soviet Russia, and a lot of them don't even recognize that, but I didn't think I needed the help too when I had been witnessed to at least 3 times before I got saved. I didn't think I needed the help. I had money in my pocket, was a professional musician before I got saved. I thought everything was hunky-dory. You probably thought that way before your salvation too. How many can testify to that? That you thought everything was okay before you got saved, right? But then one day the Lord shook you up, and one day he shook me up. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for that. But it took some witnesses. It took, finally, in 1983, a Dutch lady that, you know, I mean, she was born here, but of Dutch descent. She was saved, and she told me about the Lord. It's my sister-in-law, 1983. That was like in September. In October of 1983, I was at a friend's house in Hammond, Indiana, which was not too far from my house, which right across the border there in Cal City. I got saved right in that man's house. I was on my knees, and they had some beer was going around, although I wasn't much of a drinker. I didn't drink too much. I think maybe I was drunk one time in my life, and I thank the Lord for that. It wasn't often. And right there about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I then finally realized that I needed help. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit of God that showed me that I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I got scared. And that was the first time that I believe I actually feared God according to the Bible. You know, a lot of people say, well, I fear God too. You know, I believe in Jesus. You know, I always believed, you know. And I did, I always believed. I remember in an Orthodox church on Holman Avenue in Hammond, you probably know where that's at, St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox. I remember being on my knees and praying, but I didn't know who I was praying to. I believed in God, but I didn't know the Lord personally. And so here you get this call. And Paul gets a vision here, and he sees a man. And he sees that they're in need. He gets this call, this Macedonian call. And so what do we find in the next verse here? And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Well, you know the last words of our Lord and Savior. He said, go ye into all the world and preach, preach, preach. Mama, you're a preacher. Daddy, you are a preacher. And I think some of you guys, some of the older folks, you got the edge. You got gray hair. You got the edge on the younger folks. You can tell them some wisdom they know nothing about. You got the edge. You ought to take advantage of that edge. You know, when a man's got the edge and he takes advantage of it, he can win. You can win some souls. Folks, you got some experience under your belt? You ought to use that wisdom for the glory of God. Now, you get in the ring and you start witnessing, you're going to have to take your shots. You're going to get it in the jaw. You're going to get it over the head. You're going to get it behind the back. You're going to get a punch. But it's worth it. I had to overcome a lot of barriers coming from a Greek Orthodox home. And every time we had a reunion, my mom, bless her heart, I think she got saved in the end. You know, we praying for her and I witnessed to her and we prayed together and stuff. And I believe she got in toward the end of her life. But before she got saved, she'd always remind me, she'd say, now we're going to have this family reunion. And she'd say, Perry, don't go around telling all our relatives about this Jesus. You know, and I'd do just the opposite. I'd go around and I'd tell them about Jesus. And you know what? My wife has witnessed. Connie is one of my cousins. She's about over 60. She, since we've been back, she's already been, she got saved while we were on the field. And now she even supports us and even helps us. Because long time ago, they knew what happened to Perry. And so, witnessing, the Lord said, go ye unto all the world. Now that's the commission. Go. If you really love the Lord, I think you'd go. Honestly and sincerely, you'd go. Now you might not go far, but you'll go where God wants you to. And I think that's what the Lord wants. It may not be popular. It's not very popular today. Amen? You get all these warnings today, you know, don't, fanatic, I still hear it. You go to some church sometimes where they're always saying amen, or they're, you know, one guy's putting up his hand and waving, you know, and I still hear that today from Ken. But I try not to let that bother me, because the Lord's more important. And it may not be very popular, and many times it's not very easily achieved to say what you need to say to whom you need to say it. Amen? It's difficult. It can be difficult. And you get the methodology. It might be a cassette. It might be a tape. It might be a video, you know. But go. Get it out. And letting those two words ring in your ears, help us. A lot of people don't realize it, but there's only one way they're going to see that, their need, is when we go. How shall they hear without a... There it is. You might send them a Christmas card with a gospel tract in there. We just went bowling yesterday. Someone invited us out. We took the kids out there. And you know, there's some youth out there and the pastor's out there, you know, just giving some tracts to some of the kids. And we sit down at a table. I purposely try to leave a tract where we go. And one time we had the opportunity to lead a waitress to the Lord, folks. You think she was expecting that? I just talked to Don and Rensselaer at the church there that one time a guy dialed the wrong number. And I was about ready to hang the phone up, and I said, no, you got the right number. And within 15, 20 minutes, the guy wanted to get saved. And so, you know, it gets very exciting when you're doing these kind of things. Life becomes a little bit more exciting when you get into those kind of things. Well, the commission, go you in all the world. And we see here, and they were saved to go into Bithynia. And then after they got the vision, and it says in verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. And so they crossed continental borders. They were in Asia. There they go, crossing. And they had to leave their home and to leave their goods. And, maybe they had to leave some relatives and this and that and the other. And then you get in chapter 13. Let's go back a couple of chapters here. In chapter 13, verse 1. Now, verse 1, chapter 13, verse now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon and so on and so forth. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, here we go again, there's the Holy Spirit, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and off they went. Well, that was the calling. That was the separation. And you know, you're going to have to separate yourself from certain things when the Lord calls you. Now, if the Lord's called you, if you're saved, you're called. Amen. And if you name the name of Christ, you're to depart from iniquity. Amen. Amen. And I think when this is what the book says, when you're the Holy Spirit moves and moves, the Holy Spirit is always drawing you to know the Lord Jesus Christ better, to get you away from things that you used to do that you shouldn't be doing. And that's a process. It's not automatically everything you just dump. Now, if it happens that way, praise the Lord. Amen. But sometimes there's that hangover of stuff of the old life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Lord's showing me things right now. I mean, after 30 years, you know, that I've got to deal with, and I've got to learn how to better dump that and dump it and dump it. And when the Lord's calling me and he's saying, go. And when you're going and you're doing what you believe the Lord would have you, you're going to separate from some things in your life. Amen? Yeah. It might mean separating from too many hours in front of the television. It might mean separating yourself from too much fellowship with the brethren and more fellowship with the Lord. And you say, well, what would it be for me? It's probably the thing you're thinking about right now. Amen. And so being a missionary just doesn't mean you're traveling far. It might just mean you're getting away from something and going down the road. I remember when I got saved, I went down every block around my house and knocked on every door. And my hands are clean from the blood of those people where I live by. And that's what Paul said. Now, I don't have bad conscience. And from the time that I got saved till now, two people that I went to high school with, and matter of fact, they prompt me to put up a witness in the website, our website, so that if any of the people that I went to high school, they wanted to find me, they'd find me in the web and they'd find my witness there, my testimony, how I got saved. I want them to be saved. And you got, first of all, the commission. That's for all of us. Every one of us here, you've got a commission. Now, there's a calling. That's for a certain amount of folks that might be specifically called, you know, to some certain place where, the Lord would have them to go. And then you get in verses 2 and 4. We just read those verses here in chapter 13, verses 2 and 4. The confirmation, and the confirmation comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, I'd like to say this, that, you know what? Let's pray, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this hour. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to be able to worship you, God, together as a church family. And, Lord, thank you that you're ever present and a ready help in time of need. And Lord, we just pray you'd speak to all of our hearts, to every need that's here. Dear Lord, we all have needs for something, dear Lord God. You'd minister our hearts. It might be comfort. It might be a rebuke. It might be exhortation. It might be a doctrine. But whatever, dear Lord God, that Lord, whatever those needs are, Lord, we know you can meet those needs. Help us now, God, that you, God, will get all the praise and glory and honor. Lord, you'd stir some folks up. Lord, you'd help us. Somebody might get saved, or somebody might react and do something that would make a difference for eternity's sake, dear Lord. We just ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We got the commission, then the call, and there's the confirmation. And you know, when you're trying to go by the leadership of the Holy Bible and the Spirit of God, and sometimes you get knocked down, and no sooner you get knocked down, up comes a confirmation. It happens to us all the time when we're out doing some work. Some people might slam the door on you, and others might say, "You're doing a good job. Keep it up." You ever experienced that? Someone might say something bad to you. It's a jab in the right to the heart, you know. And then someone else might say a word to confirm and what you're trying to do and what you're trying to stand for. And we need those confirmations, and the Lord is ever present to confirm what he called you to. If you're a daddy, you know what? God has got to confirm in our hearts to stand and be a good daddy these days. Amen? Yeah. I think that's where the devil's hurting, trying to get in more than anything right now. Daddies are becoming a subject of laughter, or an object of jokes or something like that. And of course, the TV's going to pervert everything the Bible says, and to knock the manhood out of the daddy, the head of the home. And a virtuous woman is spoken of throughout the Bible, Ruth and Proverbs 31. And if you're saved and you're a woman, God's called you to be a biblical woman. That is something these days. Amen? Yeah. And it is really something to be a biblical dad, where a dad can stand for what's right. The Bible says Caleb, he served with his whole heart. And it talks about that. And he got through 40 years out in the wilderness. You got to be some kind of a dad to get through all that, and seeing all kinds of families dropping dead out in the wilderness, and you come out. And then when you're 80 years old, he says, "I'm ready to take that mountain right there." Amen. That's something. That's something where you got your scope set on, if you're a man, what does God expect of me to be a man? People are losing manhood. That's what communism wants. You'll lose your manhood. You don't stand up to listen to your own conscience. You just do what we tell you to do. You see? That's the kind of spirit coming out of Obama. You just listen to me. I'll tell you. I'll take care of you. You'll be all right. Now. And so we got here in verses 6. Let's go back to chapter 16. Chapter 16, now we saw, first of all, the commission, the call, and you get these confirmations along the way. And concerning that call and commission, then you get here in verses 6 through 9 of chapter 16. They were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia. In verse 7, we saw they were to come to Mysia, and they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In verse 9, they had the vision. And it said, they got the vision there in verse 9. In verse 10, it says, "Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." Luke was with them. He's the author of this book. "Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And you know what? We see here the compassion. Paul said, "I have a burden for my brethren." Well, he had a burden for those Jews to be saved. And he even said that, I wish I was separated from God for the sake of my brethren. You talk about compassion. No, it couldn't happen. He was saved and eternally secure. It couldn't have happened even if he tried to. Man, I tell you, that is at least one good motive why we should have some kind of compassion for sinners around us to go. We got what the devil lost. Amen? And that's why he's after our hides. Because he lost, he can never get back. And we got, we can never lose. Hallelujah. We got eternal life. We're going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. I can lose everything except my own soul. And I'm going to be up there in the presence of God Almighty. We got what the devil lost. And he lost, he can never get back. And we got that we can never lose. Man, that's... If it's so good, I'd like to repeat it, but I'd probably forget it already. But, you know, I appreciate what the Lord did in my life, in my own heart, in my own soul, and saving us from a devil's hell if you're saved. And the Lord works on me. I can be like a Jonah, sit at the edge of the city there after the whole city got saved. And here they are, all shouting and rejoicing, you know, hallelujah, my dog got saved, my cattle got saved, my cat got saved. Everybody got saved. And there's old Jonah sitting on the edge of the seat, on the edge of the city there. I knew the Lord would do that. Now, I hope you're not a Jonah. I hope the Lord finds and puts in you some kind of compassion for sinners around us. And you look at them today and you see they think they got some kind of happiness. You know, they do. And you were probably happy for some reason or another before you got saved. But it ain't the same thing after salvation. You got that joy now that will never be taken away, that eternal joy. And so here we see compassion. And they went. And it says in verse 9 there, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately they endeavored to go. And there, that's the right spirit. Lord, vision, or prayer. And right about at 2 o'clock, you got vision. And about 4 o'clock, plan. And about 7 o'clock, prepare. And about 10 o'clock, proceed. And that thing constantly works. Prayer, vision, plan, prepare, proceed. Prayer, vision, plan, prepare, and proceed. And that's the way God will work in our lives, if we let him. Has he ever given you something in prayer where you just got done reading and the Lord illuminates something from the Holy Bible and you start, things start getting a little bit clearer in the Bible? We could call that when the Lord, as Paul prayed, enlighten the eyes of your understanding. That would be like a vision. Of course, we're not looking to see, you know, some form or something like that. No. We're not into that program, no. But praying, vision, the Lord's giving you something from the Holy Bible, and the Lord gave me. Colossians 3:11, you see it tonight. It talks about Scythians. And Scythians is right there in 3:11. And we're in farm territory. We got some farmers here. Brother Hoffman, Pastor Hoffman. Oh, I just recognize his face. He's looking at me. I'm saying, nah, do I know that guy or not? And, you know, out there is the wheat, bread basket of Ukraine. It's like the Midwest here. And it's basically an agricultural. My wife's taught me a lot. You know, I'm a city boy. You know, I learned how to kill a pig out there in Ukraine. Yeah. Yeah. I was telling the folks there in the church in Rensselaer, you know, a pig, no matter how bad it is and how muddy they are, they're always smiling. They always got that smile on their face. I don't know what it is about pigs, you know. But you look at fish, they're always under the water, you know, they're under the weather, you know. I never seen a happy fish in my life. Amen? You know, a catfish or a bass is always yapping away, big mouth, you know, it's never happy. But a pig's always smiling, you know, mud all over it. Anyway. That's not part of the sermon here, but anyway, I forgot what I was talking about now. And you did too, huh? compassion. And, oh yeah, well, that land out there, And, you know, you got scythe. The word Scythian is in Colossians 3:11. And you get the word from Scythian, scythe. And that's where you get the hammer and sickle. Yeah. Farmers. And you got out there corn and wheat and all the produce, all that stuff, just like out here, you know. And it's familiar territory to my wife and me. And so it's the word of God speaking to you. And where the Lord was speaking to our hearts concerning having some kind of compassion for these sinners out here. It might be a track. Just go on out. Say, listen, I don't know who you are, but, you know, I was just thinking about you. I was in a store one time, and a guy's wanting to buy some fish, dead fish. And I don't know him from Egypt. And I said, sir, I'd just like you to have this. Lord told me to come to you and tell you and give you this track. And he said, thank you. I do appreciate that. And he started talking about the government, this, that, and the other, you know. He's got something on his heart hurting him. And sometimes folks need that hurt, that they would see their need, and we'd see their need, and to learn better how to minister to people today. So we're talking about compassion. And then after that, in chapter 16, and we're going till 12, right? Okay. chapter 16, so they're off, and the first fruit that they get, they run into a lady, Lydia. And of course, that's not what he expected, because in the vision he saw a man. Okay? And a lot of times in our lives, when God calls us to something and we get going and we're, you know, we're really moving now, and things aren't working out like we expected them to. Have you ever run into that? You expect one thing, and another thing happens. You're looking for one thing, and you get something else. And we've got in our site, harvestukraine.org, there's a whole list of books that we put together as a result of us serving out there. And I put together missionaries' proverbs. And one of the proverbs we put down there was, it's always something. You know what I mean? Always something to try to throw a wrench in the works. It's always something to get you messed up. It's always something that you never expected. And just when I think, I said, now, Lord, that's happened, and that's happened, and that's happened. And I mean, it's just, I mean, I've been laid out and not knowing what to do. And I said, what in the world could be next? And it's always something. And the Lord's just trying your faith. So here, they got some fruit. Praise God, the lady got saved, but it's still not what Paul expected, because they're thinking, hey, Paul, you know, you got this big old vision. You know, you got this vision, you know, and you got a man. You're pulling us away from our kin and everything from over there in Europe, and now, or Asia. Now we come all the way to Europe, and all we got is a woman. Well, praise God for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. I mean, I like going fishing, and I'm expecting to catch some good, fat old, big, largemouth bass and come out with a little crappie or two about that big. You know, I'll take that, you know, McDonald's French fry, something like that, you know. And then then if that ain't enough, then this girl comes along, and she's saying, oh, these guys are the Most High, servants of the Most High God, verse 17, chapter 16, verse 17. These men are the servants of the Most High God. And she just kept repeating that over and over and over and over, and ends up, she was probably a first century charismatic, you know. And you know, she's jumping all over the place, and whoopee, you know, and all this other stuff, and she's got the what they call tongues and all this other stuff, you know. Paul had to rebuke that thing, you know. And she got all upset. So, and then, you know, by then, the group that came with Paul are saying, now, Paul, now, wait a minute. Now, are you sure you got that? You know, you told us about this vision, you know. And here we are. We left everything, you know. Left family, this and that and the other. Said bon voyage and so on and so forth. And then all we get is a one woman. We can't get a work going with the woman, you know. Was she going to be the pastor? Unless you're, you know, what's his name out there in Houston? Benny Hinn or something like that or whatever, you know. Get these women up there. And then we got some young lady running around here, half crazy, you know, scare everybody away. And then if that ain't enough, now we're all beat up. We're preaching the word of God and they're beating the fire out of us. And if that ain't enough, here we are sitting in the slammer. Now, what in the world is going on, Paul? You know, that's enough for a guy to get out of the ministry. That's kind of like when they took Sikeleg and they took David's wives and all the brethren. Thank God for the brethren, amen? You know, brethren, the brother. And, you know, let's kill them. You know, they wanted to stone Paul or David. You know, hallelujah, hallelujah, David, our king, you know, and then let's stone a guy. Get him out of here. You know, you're expecting one thing, and it totally something opposite's happening. So by then, this group says, with Paul is saying, oh, that's it, here we are. What are we going to do? We're in jail, all bruised up. We got a church over here, Bible Baptist Church, Charismatic Baptist Pentecostal Church, with a charismatic running around, and the woman's the preacher. And what's going on, Paul? And Paul says, well, I don't know what to do. I think what we ought to do is just start praying and singing. It's a midnight hour. Oh, it's midnight. It's 12 o'clock right now. It's time to quit. And Paul said, well, let's sing. And he gets Luke and all the others to start singing. And before you know it, man, that place is really moving. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. And before you know it, that Philippian jailer comes out. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, that's it. And those guys say, what do you mean that's it? That's the man. That's the vision. And because of that, eventually he got saved there. What must they do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shall be saved in thy house. And as a result, you got the Bible-believing work going on there in Philippi. And we got the letter to the Philippians, and we're still being blessed because of the fact that Paul heard the commission, got the call, had the compassion, the confirmation, and then the fruit. Right around the corner, brother, sister, there's some fruit to be had. Have you got that compassion? You remember that call? Help us. Do you see the need? The Lord sees the need. And the Bible says, how shall they hear without a will you go? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, for the attentive ears of these people here. And Lord, help us to be doers and not hearers only. Please help us, dear Lord, that we would go. We don't know where, but maybe we do know. And it's what maybe you've put on our hearts to that person that is in the most need. Yeah, we might get hit. We might get rebuked. They might try to shame us. But Lord, it'll be worth it in the end. Now help us, God. Move in our hearts. Speak to us. Show us. Deal with us, Lord, in these last days. While we have an opportunity, let us do good. That you might be praised and get all the praise and glory and honor for the salvation of souls and for your glory. Pastor.
If you need to use the altar, the altar's open for you. That's a lot like the Lord. It says in Proverbs that we are to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Sometimes you just don't know. A lot of times you don't know if the Lord is actually leading you. But then when you look in the past, look backwards, then you see that he was. That's what living by faith is. It's funny, a man called Paul to come and help. He finds a lady that was right with the Lord, one that's not right with the Lord. Then he gets in a mess. And then he finds the man that led him, that called him. And that man had contact with a bunch of people. Started a church, and then we get to read the letter to the Philippians. That's an amazing thing about the Lord. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word that shows us how you work. And it's common saying that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And boy, that's so true. In many ways, it's true. There are some things you are very predictable on, but then there's some things you are totally unpredictable. And help us yield to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll put an offering plate in the back there. Anything given? Perry.